When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
All right, hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And I have a little bit of a cold, so I apologize for sounding funny. I've just been...
Oh, you always sound funny.
Oh,
excuses, excuses.
Good one, Mom.
You're a funny girl, funny girl.
I've just been sick, like, I don't know, ever since I've had the baby. Nothing's ever been the
same. Well, you haven't been sick, but
yeah,
you traded off illnesses with your family.
You know, I got that advice one time, don't have a baby, like, in the fall or winter.
Oh, yeah.
Like, have one in the spring, you know.
Because, I had one in the fall.
Yeah. Was I sick?
You were
you sick? You got mastitis with me?
I did get mastitis with you.
It's the curse of the fall, baby.
Right away, though. Yeah. Right away. I had it like when you were 2 or 3 weeks old.
Well,
But I didn't stay sick.
I don't have that anymore. Anyway, gosh. Yeah, I know you all out there have that Facebook friend who's always like
whining,
talking about when they're sick, and yeah. It's like every week, and you're like, there's something wrong with you.
You know,
if I listed every time I had been sick in this past like 5 months, I would have been that Facebook friend.
That's right. That's
but
right.
I didn't.
You know, when I had Lindsay, I brought her home in the neighborhood kid because it was like April, right?
Yeah.
The end of April, so it was nice out, and you know, all the neighborhood kids came over, and the little twins from next door came over and held her, and their mother called me the next day and said, the twins have chicken pox.
Oh, gosh.
And at that time, there wasn't a chicken pox
vaccine,
right?
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. You know, I've got a 3-year-old and an infant, and now there's going to be chicken pox. But here, I called the pediatrician, and because I had chicken pox and, you know, the colostrum thing and all this.
Breastfeeding,
yeah. Yeah. They said if she gets them, it'll probably be a very, very mild case. Well, she didn't get them until like 6 years later.
Yeah, so, and you know, that's
you know,
all.
So who knows?
Know, and
who knows? But when I called the mother of the twins and told her that, she was much relieved.
Oh, God, I'm sure she
yeah,
felt terrible.
Yeah, because
yes.
Both of these twins are like, passing the baby back and forth,
right,
you know, like
right.
They weren't very old. They were like 4, you know.
Sure she did feel very scared. Yes, about that. But yeah, when I got mastitis, I thought I'm pretty sure you're supposed to nurse through this. And I thought, oh no, you can like get really sick, like, and you can't take your baby somewhere else, like, you know. Like, I was supposed to have family watch him that
right.
day, actually. And then I was like, I don't think I can. I think I was supposed to keep him. Anyway. Oh, well. All right. Well,
speaking of things that can bother you
or hurt you or whatever, today's episode
and make you not really healthy.
Have you ever gotten sick from sewing?
I did strain my IT band, if anybody
That's
wants
a
to
great...
know what that is.
Well, let's just say, today's episode is about safety in the sewing room,
right.
And this is a repetitive motion.
Repetitive motion, like you
Injury?
Would have like tennis elbow or, you know, what do they call the
carpal tunnel?
Carpal tunnel for
so
keyboard
happened,
or something.
What happened with your IT
well,
band?
Well, I was sewing costumes and making like 40 costumes in one weekend, and this is not an exaggeration. Mallory will tell you I used to do that. Like, I could make maybe hundreds of garments in like 3 days.
We got somebody who was like, excuse me, you can't do that.
Yeah,
like,
well, no. There's a formula. Work your butt off, don't sleep. Yeah. Anyway, and you create techniques, and you use your knee lift.
That's right.
Because
the
knee lift will save you 30% of the time in sewing. So anyway, my legs started hurting me. And I realized that, you know, I was pushing on this knee lift over and over with the side of, it's not really, you don't really use your knee, you use the side of your thigh.
Right.
And it's where your IT band is, which uh-huh. is a
tendon.
Okay. And I like bruised it. Like I overused it. And I had to stop and make a pad to go on.
So is that around like a paper towel roll?
I don't know what that's around. That? I don't remember, but it's around a tube, isn't it? And I just slid it on there.
Yeah, so it's like this padded tube that goes on our knee lift.
Well, in with commercial or industrial machines, they too have a knee lift like that.
Right.
Okay, that's where that came from, so that people would be hands-free to sew in factories and, you know, mm-hmm. they could lift their presser foot. And they have like a disc that is mounted on theirs that is padded, which is a really good idea because that bar, you know, it's not going to hurt most people
but
because
they're going to. It distributes
it distributes the pressure across
the disc
your leg.
Does, yeah.
Right, where I'm like hitting that bar over and over and over again. So that has something to do with safety or well being in the sewing room,
you
right?
You know, I did get tennis elbow from knitting.
Yeah, you can do that.
And we had a customer. I said, oh, my gosh, my elbow hurts so bad. You right. know, da-da. And she brought me, you know, the
that
thingy,
little band.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And it's got the little air pocket.
Right. So it puts pressure on the tendon or something.
Yes. Oh, God. No, it's
it really I mean, works. Yes.
I was in so much pain.
I got that from weightlifting one time. And
yeah.
That little pressure band helps.
Well, of course, I wanted to finish my project, right. you know.
So, you know. Those are some things you have to think about when sewing. You think about them in anything, but is, you know, the repetitive task. And then also the sedentary thing where if you're sitting at the sewing machine or sitting with your head over and down,
yeah.
you know, and when I used to make those hundreds of costumes at a time like that,
uh-huh.
sometimes I would set an alarm for every 20 minutes and I would just stand up and move around.
Now that's even easier to do with our phones.
Well, and on some sewing machines, you can set an alarm.
Yes. So setting an alarm to get up, it's not just about, like, you know, some people talk about sitting being bad for your health in terms of, like, weight gain and stuff. It's also just about your
spine. Circulation and moving things.
Your
you know, your joints, your synovial fluid, just like in a car engine, the synovial fluid on your joints will, like, fall with gravity.
Right.
And they're no longer lubricating.
And your neck being
yes.
forward like that hurts after a while.
Yes. And then it can hurt for a really long time.
Yes.
And not want to be better.
Having a good chair, and this can mean lots of different things.
Right.
Okay.
Everybody has a different idea of what a good chair is, and that's fine.
And we have this chair in here that you love to sit in. And
I'm sitting in it.
Is that
the one that was made for me?
No.
No.
You have this other chair in here that I hate.
The little blue one?
Yes.
That I recovered?
It
yes.
pushes on my back.
Yeah.
And I know that's supposed to be, like, good for you in some ways, but it's not, like, I'm too big for it or something.
Uh-huh.
Just freaking hate that chair. So, anyway, but some people will sew on a stool. They're okay with something without a back.
Right.
Some people, da-da-da-da-da, all this stuff. So, not being sedentary, you know, too
another
much
Another way
good.
I was not sedentary, if I was not at the machine, my work table is, you know, counter height.
You stand at it.
And I would stand to sew, I'd stand to read. I stood most of the rest of the time, and that was comfortable for me.
Yeah, and not everyone can do that.
No.
Of course, there are people who need to sit. But if you can have a table height thing and, like, a stool,
right.
you can encourage the standing. Just because sewing is obviously the way
right.
we do it at machines, a lot of the time is done while sitting.
I think another thing is hydration.
Yes.
And
get
hydration,
a drink when you get up.
Right, and hydration goes... You know, your body needs to be hydrated. We're mostly water anyway. But, you know, it has to do with keeping the muscles going and all that. And I know women that have gotten UTIs from sewing.
Yeah, because they
because
didn't
they didn't drink. They got dehydrated. And, you know, I think you can drink anything you want. You know, there's also the dilemma, you know, is coffee water, is yeah. soda water? Or, I drink both. You know, if you have coffee, have a water bottle too.
Have a bar in your sewing
room. Yeah, yeah. Okay? Have a bartender.
It's like Mad Men. Yeah. Okay, that's what I said. I'm watching Mad Men, and they are drinking constantly.
Every time they have
a
meeting, they have a bar.
But yeah, they're like, hey, where are the refreshments? You know, so that's what I said that we should have is like a bar in the sewing room.
Right.
But
well, we all have vodka in our sewing room.
I've also
right.
seen people at longer classes get sort of like cloudy headed.
Yes.
And
low blood sugars.
Low blood sugar, even just water,
right.
even just being dehydrated can make you cloudy headed. We don't want to do that while we're sewing. We don't want to make bad decisions. We don't want to cut incorrectly. And a lot of people in the group, this will come up every once in a while, they'll say, what kind of snacks do you keep in the sewing room?
Right.
And we don't keep really...
We don't keep food in
We don't
the
keep
studio.
Food in our studio.
For a couple reasons.
But I will say, I have... That's really the only way I can forget to eat. Okay. I like to eat, and I can get prevented from eating by tasks, but I mean like truly forget, like get in the flow state,
right.
and it's like, oh my gosh, it's been like 6 hours since I've eaten. It's a long time for me. You know, is with sewing.
Right.
And that's not always good for you. You know, sometimes it can work in your schedule, but you do need to take a break.
Right.
So taking breaks.
Taking breaks is important for all of those things.
Right. Okay. I just want to bring this up. This is a real short one that I don't think we'll get off on a tangent on. But speaking of leaning forward, like leaning your head forward and stuff, if you have long hair,
mm-hmm.
you need to keep it back away from that take-up lever
mm-hmm.
on your sewing machine.
So do you know why older sewing machines, the take-up lever is exposed?
Yes.
And
yes.
on newer machines, you will notice it is
it's
not
covered.
Because... There was a agency created called OSHA.
Yeah.
And so the take-up levers can no longer, on home machines, be exposed like they used to be.
And we have a machine where it's like half exposed. It's
well,
not like,
just the edge comes out
yeah,
or something.
Just,
yeah.
And, okay, my hair got caught in that
right,
one.
It can. It really
yeah.
can.
Now, I mean, that if you think about where my hair was, it's almost a little unreasonable. You know, it should have been
right.
back. But keep your hair back.
I can remember being hit with a take-up lever in my glasses, like when I was younger.
You're looking real close
at it. Yeah, looking real close down at something like you really were doing, you know, some
uh-huh.
detailed work, and the take-up lever hitting your glasses, and you're
well,
going, whoa.
Okay, and if you have really long hair.
Right.
Or clothing. Let's talk about loose
clothing. Loose
clothing.
I've got that on my list.
I don't know if Cinda listens. She's in the group.
Right.
She was my professor, but she talked about how she bought this beautiful scarf at this thrift store. And it was, I don't know, I can't remember if it was made of some precious material or if it was just really,
right.
you know, her favorite or whatever. But she's showing people how to use a rotary cutter.
And she cut her scarf.
And she cut her scarf.
Well, and you can also
it.
Sew your scarf.
Sure. Yeah. Yes.
You know, there's so many things that loose clothing can, you know, and especially around all this fabric anyway, it sort of camouflages itself.
So maybe, you know, I probably wouldn't sew in my kimono with those loose sleeves.
Right.
Only
if you were doing like a quick repair and,
yes.
yeah, you know,
yes.
your jammies or something. But no, you really shouldn't, your clothing should not be flowing.
Yeah.
And you can get in more than one kind of trouble with that. Because if you start sewing your shirt, all of a sudden you're attached to your sewing machine.
Yes, you are.
You know, and you've got to either figure out how to get out of the shirt or can you, seam rip yourself away from that or what?
If you think that that has never happened, it has.
Yes, it has.
Yes, absolutely. If you just can imagine how, you know, sometimes a piece of the clothing that you're sewing can get folded under there,
right,
you know.
Well, since we've hit on cutting tools.
Yeah, you want to go into cutting and then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially rotary cutters.
Yeah.
Well, not especially. Any sharp tool. Rotary cutters used to not have a lock on them that locked the blade.
Uh-huh.
They all do now. OSHA steps in,
yeah.
or somebody mm-hmm. does.
Yeah.
Anyway. When you lay those down and you walk away from them, if they're on your table, they really need to be locked. And I have a story, and it was someone I worked with.
I just want to say, yep. little warning, if you're squeamish about
yeah.
stuff, maybe...
I won't try to be too
okay.
graphic, other than I can't remember, but her husband was looking for something in her sewing room. And she went in her sewing room, and she lifted up her ruler,
yeah,
okay, off the sewing room. And it happened to flip her rotary cutter, which fell on top of her foot.
And it was open.
And it was, yeah, in fact, it did not have a lock. This was an old-time cutter, so if you got them, just get rid of them. And what it actually did was it severed the nerve in her foot, and she had to have surgery.
Yeah.
And, you know, in a cast for a long time, and they were not going to assure her that that nerve intervention, you know, was coming back. It did, and she wound up okay. But what a simple little thing.
I really like that Olfa Ergo cutter.
Yeah, I like it too.
Because if you forget to lock it shut.
Yes, it's still guarded.
It's guarded. Yes. I really like that one. And, you know, I had somebody show me another brand where it's pressure.
Yeah.
It's just the pressure. Right. And they're like, see, if you roll it on your hand, it doesn't, you know.
Yeah, well, drop it on your hand.
Well, right. I thought about dropping it. I also thought.
You can step on it.
Yeah, I also thought about, I mean, I guess there was there also a way to lock it shut, too?
Yes, there was, I think.
Okay, you know, but that still wasn't ideal for me.
Right.
I did like.
All of those kinds of tools, when people say to me, oh, my grandchildren are in my sewing room, first of all, they wouldn't be in mine.
Yeah.
Okay. There's just too many things.
Well.
Things you can pull down on yourself, things you can cut yourself with.
When there's a kid in here who's under 10.
We're with them.
Our attention
is on
them.
We are absolutely with them.
Yes.
And everybody, that too, when you go to your sewing store. Okay.
Oh.
There's blades laying around. There's pins on the floor. When we had a store, I used to go out of my mind when people would let their children just run loose because I thought there are hazards, much less the front door that they'd stick their hand in sometime and almost get caught.
Yeah, and you know, we would have the store, and so I can hear people being like, well, you should put those pins and seam rippers away and stuff. Well, we'd have a store where our classroom was kind of open.
Right.
And there were students working.
Well, and another thing is we could put all the things away we wanted, and sometimes customers didn't put them
away.
That's
what I'm saying. Yeah. The customers would have the things out, or the customers would be cutting or whatever, you know. Yeah, and I mean, we never would put machines in like a precarious place either.
No.
You know, so that no one could pull them down on themselves or whatever. But you know, sewing stores, you're supposed to have your machines on to show to the customers. So yeah, if you do bring your kid into a sewing store, keep an eye on them. And of course, we would have kids just like do crazy things to thread.
And the thing is things in a sewing machine, in a sewing store, are usually pretty, so kids want to touch and look.
Yeah. And I have a little kid who wants to, like, go up and touch stuff, and I have to tell her she can't, you know? So
and
I
if you
totally
want to be
it.
Nice to the people that own the store, if your child takes all of the thread off of a display, you might stay there and help put it back together.
Yeah, you might. You might. Hey, I want to say about a rotary cutter. I just want to go back to this. So we had somebody ask a question. They were like, I'm just so afraid of the injuries that you can get with a rotary cutter. And I can understand that. They're very sharp, efficient tools.
Right.
So if you're worried about cutting yourself, you always keep your other hand behind the rotary blade.
That's right.
You can use a ruler.
Away from the edge of the ruler.
There are gloves that they sell.
Mm-hmm.
I've never needed to wear a glove. I think I very rarely cut myself with
a
rotary cutter.
Do you know, I have cut myself one time in all the year. I've been using a rotary cutter since the 70s.
I mean, mom's probably used a rotary
cutter
for thousands of hours.
And when I say cut, I slice sort of the side of my finger. And what happened was, actually, the person who got their foot screwed up came up to me and asked me a question.
Yeah.
And I turned as I was cutting.
Yeah.
You know, and all I did was slice a little skin off the side of my finger, but you know, those razor cuts bleed like crazy.
You know, when I cut myself on a rotary cutter, when someone locked the rotary cutter open and put it in the drawer at the shop,
that's a danger too. I was so angry. Yeah, that really
makes you
mad.
You know, it was
and you gotta look, you just can't grab it.
Well,
I
don't know if I could see it.
I see, yeah,
it was in.
Right.
It was not good, you know.
So only work with people that are as intelligent and as cautious as you.
And just to go back to this, you know, this woman said, I'm afraid of the injuries. And she also said, and especially to kids, don't give a little kid a rotary cutter.
No, don't even let them think about it.
No, they can use shears. I know we are big rotary cutter advocates, of course. But there, you know, yes, there is an age. There's probably
the other thing about cutting scissors or rotary cutters or anything is when it comes to electrical cords. Be careful that you're not cutting around an electrical cord. You can cut through those, too, and that can cause a real big problem.
Okay, so let's pause there. Let's take a break, and we'll come back and talk more about electricity.
Okay. Hey, Mal.
Hey, Mom.
I heard you were easy.
Oh, no!
What does that mean?
No, it means what you really heard was, well, Mallory, your easy tee looks so good on you.
Oh, yes. I should have known that it was something about something you made.
Like you said, you're getting into your golden years. Sometimes, you know, mishearing things, it happens.
No, you're
right?
The one that mishears things. I know this. You make lapel pins about it.
Okay, so I am currently wearing an easy tee, and I wear them all the time. The easy tee is a semi-fitted short sleeve t-shirt made out of a woven fabric, and you draft the easy tee to fit your measurements by taking the easy tee class.
Well, how do I take this class?
It's an online class that you can watch anytime on sewhere.com. To purchase the class, go to sewhere.com/easy tee. That's just EASYT.
Is this on my computer?
It's on your computer. It's on your phone. It's on your iPad. The class is divided up into short, easily consumable segments, some of which you may not ever need to watch ever again, but some of which you might want to revisit. So you have the ability to mark lessons as completed and also to star lessons so you can go back and revisit the ones that are most important to you.
And I can vouch, Mallory's easy tea is a lot easier than Mallory is.
Once again, go to sewhere.com/easy tee to begin your pattern drafting journey.
Sewing out loud.
If you and your team want to cut down on busy work and get more choice and control over accounts payable, you need Bill. Bill Accounts Payable is your secret weapon for saving time on AP. And with a special offer at bill.com/podcast, you'll save money too. With Bill, streamline your entire AP process, including bill creation, approvals, and payments. You can pay with ACH, credit card, check, and international wire transfer. Plus, you can easily integrate with most accounting software. No wonder hundreds of thousands of businesses are already using Bill to manage their AP. Schedule a free demo now to see how Bill can automate your financial operations. And right now, get 15% off when you subscribe to Bill Accounts Payable. There's never been a better time to sign up. This special offer is available for a limited time only at bill.com/podcast. Terms apply. See bill.com/podcast for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, Sparky, what's your story?
Sparky? Well, first of all, I don't know if this would cause, like, you a bunch of harm, but you need to plug your sewing machines into a surge protector.
Absolutely.
Okay. Also, if you do have a machine where when you touch it, it shocks you.
Yes.
You need to take it back to the repair.
Something's going on. Your machine should not feel a when you touch your machine.
You shouldn't get like a high.
I mean, we're not talking about like a friction shock, like if you walked on the carpet. But there's truly an electrical current going through. Now, it's very low voltage.
Yes.
But let's not mess with it, right?
Yeah, so if your machine is shocking you for some reason,
right,
you need to take it back, okay? So plugged into a surge protector, we've seen some, when something electrical goes wrong with a machine, it can just be such a pain.
Well, right. Yeah, and expensive, and you have to start replacing boards.
Sometimes
and
you don't know what's wrong.
Right.
You know, sometimes it can be really simple.
Right.
You know, and sometimes not. So power strips. Also, pay attention to the circuits in your sewing room, right? So
right.
We have an iron. Sewing machines don't draw a lot of power.
No.
Even a really strong sewing machine.
No.
They don't draw a lot of power, but irons do.
And they have an alternating current, and they will throw your circuit or your fuse or whatever you
which
might
actually
have.
Is not an unsafe thing.
Which is good. You want it
to, right.
It's going to do that.
But if you are running like a space heater in your sewing room or something like that.
Or two irons.
Or
sometimes.
Two irons. Or what else? Well, I guess that's, I'm trying to think of anything else that's like flipped the breaker. You
a lot
know,
of times
us.
If somebody's put two irons or we've had a pressing tool of some sort.
You need to figure out, that's what will draw a lot of power. And I guess, just an aside, we do have a space heater in here. if you have a bunch of fabric in your sewing room,
yeah,
you know, don't make it a fire hazard.
Well, you never leave a space heater.
Yes.
Okay, on while you are out of the area. And the other thing is you want a space heater that if it's tipped, it turns off.
Okay, you also, if you are looking for new iron, see if there's one that sparks your fancy that has an auto shut off.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like an auto shut off that's like 20 to 30 minutes.
Right. How long it is makes a big difference.
I don't like a 10 minute shut off. But boy, if you leave the house and you think that you left your iron on, you shouldn't really have to worry about it.
Right.
Because it's
going
to turn off.
I also know some people that, you know, have their iron on a surge protector. They have, or so when they leave their studio or their sewing area, they just turn off all
they
their surge.
Yeah. Flip that switch.
And then they know everything is off.
That's a really good idea.
Right. They know everything's off.
Cords with the iron as well.
Absolutely.
And with children.
You should really have like a cord guide.
Yeah. The iron is up on the ironing board.
Never have a child near an iron any place, anywhere.
Right. So another thing, heavy stuff up high. And I guess we are really lucky, Mom, that we've got this place where we can close the door.
Right. Well, I think the other thing when we talk about children is animals.
Oh, yes.
And people talk about, oh, they're cats, this. Okay. I know. I've had cats and dogs in my studio always.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And we have a story about me sewing a cat's paw.
Yes, and I think that we've told that. Have we told that?
I think we did tell it once. We can tell it again.
I hope we didn't already do this episode.
No, I don't think so. But a cat can knock an iron over.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why it's nice if the iron turns over. It has an automatic turn off for that, too.
Right.
That's another thing. But the other thing is animals can eat or chew things in your studio that will hurt them.
That's right.
Especially like threads.
Yeah.
Like nylon threads are a big thing. Pins. Things like that that intestinally will hurt them.
And you know, I've never had an animal that was trying to eat my sewing supplies. And, but we someone told us at the store and someone told us in the group about like just a dog like ripping into a sewing kit. Like pins, everything.
Well, we used to get machines all the time where they chewed the cords.
Yeah, yeah.
And even hamsters apparently can chew your cord.
So, well,
guinea pigs, whatever.
Hamsters especially.
Right.
Like,
so somebody lost their guinea pig and then they found it and their sewing machine didn't work at the same time and it eaten through the cord.
What else do those things have to do? They just chew through cords.
Yeah.
No, bunnies will chew through cords.
Right.
So if you know your animal and you know they're safe in the sewing room, like, I believe that that can exist.
Yeah, well, I don't have my animals in my sewing room unless I'm there.
Yes, yes.
Just like kids, I kind of treat them the same way.
Yeah, yeah. But I know that, like, you know, my cat has never tried to eat a such and such, and she's however many, you know, years old. It's okay, yes. But while you're in there, that's a really good...
Also, if you lock them in your sewing room, they can poop on stuff.
Yes.
And it's not their fault if they can't get out.
No.
Right.
Okay, this is something that's really relevant for us. Let's talk about flooring a little bit. We have like laminate flooring in our studio.
So it's slick.
Very slick. And if we drop a piece of like tulle or sheer fabric.
Or don't sweep up and have a lot of lint and thread on the floor.
It becomes an ice skating
rink. It's a skating rink. It is like slick, slick, slick.
And I love it that it's slick because it's easy to clean. It sweeps up, right? Like, you know, wonderfully.
That's why we like it.
Yes, yes. But especially, I just remember, I don't know what, if you were making a veil or
whatever. Anything. No,
it doesn't have to be a big piece.
No, no, just enough to get under your foot.
Yeah, your foot goes on that.
Well, and we always had, people used to say when we had our store, oh, why don't you put laminate in, you know, when we were replacing the floor? And I'd say, no, these people will be down on their butts. And we always had carpet. It was harder to clean. You had to bend down and pick up all the pins, you know, and the thread stuck to it. And it was harder, but I felt it was safer.
Safer in a store for sure. So carpet, though, if you do have carpet in your studio, you need to pick up those pins.
And it's nicer to have a low pile than a high shaggy pile.
Right. So if you are getting to, like, choose your floor, you know, and you do choose a carpet, low pile, you do need to pick up those pins before you vacuum.
Yeah, the other thing you can have is in your sewing area or where you're standing, you can have some sort of mat, you know, or like this. What the I forget what it's called, but, you know, they put it under a secretary's chair where you can roll. There's other things you can do on top of carpet.
Yes.
And then same with our floor. As slick as it is, some people want like a foam cushion to stand on in their standing area or something like it. I always try to wear really supportive shoes when I sew, unless I'm trying something on and I have on like my heels or the shoes I'm going to wear.
You know, there are so many people who talk about sewing barefoot. And I remember at the shop when Joanne came in and she wanted to take off her shoe to sew.
She'd take a shoe off for her pedal.
And I thought, I have never thought about this. I have sewn with all sorts of shoes on and barefoot and in socks. And I really don't have a preference because I've done it so many ways.
Right.
Just because.
No, I can sew anyway, but I guess the one reason I talk about shoes is, again, it's an ergonomic thing, good for your back, and you can stand, and you'll last longer.
When
you're
standing on a hard floor, and even when we had the shop, it was that cement floor with
all
that
itty bitty carpet. All of our stores basically were concrete.
Yeah.
You know, they had carpet over them, a little thin layer of carpet, but you're standing on concrete all day.
Yes. So be careful with kids. There's a lot of things to take into consideration.
Right.
And let's talk about sewing over your finger. Have you ever sewn over your finger?
I have only sewn my fingernail. Uh-huh. My nails were so long that the needle sort of pierced the end of my... I have not done that. Almost everybody we know has. You haven't, have you?
I did. The needle went through the side of...
Just the skin.
The skin. Yeah. But here's why. Okay, I'm saying, I feel like I get a little mulligan here, okay? I was doing free motion for the first time.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to position my hands.
Where to put your hands, yeah.
So, you know, my hand went too far toward the needle. So you know where your needle is.
Well, and here's what I think. I think you sew through your finger when sewing becomes automatic and you become nonchalant about it.
Yeah.
And you're not, you know, so it's really, it's almost easy. It's easy for the more experienced sewer to do it.
Oh, yeah.
As the new sewer.
I mean, that's also, you know, the more experienced sewer will probably put the sleeve in the neck hole, right?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, my hands really are not even close to the presser foot when I sew most of the time. They're very far back from it.
No, but I do want to say this. Let's talk about embroidery a little bit. I want everyone to know where that start-stop button is on their machine.
And if you... Okay, embroidery is punching, and that needle is going up and down as fast, usually almost as fast as it can on your machine, and you've got a really hard needle in there because it's punching. Don't try and clip the threads while it's moving.
That's, yes. So start,
expensive, stop. And dangerous.
Yes, start, stop button, okay? I would do this whenever I was teaching an embroidery class, I would... model this. I would be like, if there's a bad sound coming from your machine or da 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 da, I said, I don't want to see you go like this.
Right.
And I would spring back from the machine and I would put my hands in the air because that's what people would do. They'd be like, ah, I said, no, I want you to hear the bad thing or see the bad thing or whatever. And I want your finger to go right to that start stop button. I'd ask everybody, where is it? Show me.
Right.
Because that's what you need to do because it'll just keep going.
And a needle will break and fly.
Yes.
Whatever.
And even if your machine has a sensor, like, oh, the thread's broken or oh, the needle's broken, it takes a couple.
Hey, stuff goes wrong.
Well, yeah, and it takes a little bit for it to register that.
Absolutely.
So you might be faster. You also need to keep that area clear where your embroidery module moves.
Absolutely.
Especially if you got one of these big machines.
Yeah.
Where the module can go, like, what? I don't know, like 8 inches. Behind the machine and 12 inches behind the machine.
Yeah,
it's a long...
They're getting bigger all the time.
Yes, you can't just have your machine up against the wall, you know. Well, you can.
Well, but... and it really needs to be on a stable surface.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people sew on folding tables. Some are sturdier than others, but a folding table is usually not a really... unless it's specifically made for sewing, it's usually not a good deal.
No, our sewing tables have like a reinforcement bar underneath them. Oh, I also want to say about the embroidery module. If you are in a swivel chair, like both of us are right now, and you're watching your embroidery, and then you like want to turn around and do something... do not let your swivel chair just boom right into the arm of your embroidery. I've seen that happen so many times because you're on like this side of the embroidery unit and then you turn and then boom, you've hit the hoop, you've hit the arm or something like that.
Absolutely.
So the embroidery safety is a big deal. Like you said, don't try to trim threads while it's embroidering.
Right.
If you have to hold something down while you're embroidering it.
Ooh, yeah. Careful.
Be very careful. Not only can...
And don't get distracted. Don't let anybody... No. Don't. If somebody talks to you, don't turn away and look at them. Continue to look at what you're doing and say, hold on or I'll have to answer you in a minute or something.
The needle is not the only thing that can hit you. You know that screw... There are lots of things that can hit you, but
even the needle bar can hit you.
Yeah. So the screw though that keeps the needle in that's attached to the needle bar, you know, that I've had that hit me.
Yes, and it'll take a chunk out of you.
Yeah.
Really well.
So if you have to hold something while embroidering, please be careful. If you can, do a test sample so you can see how it's going to move first.
Yeah.
Because it'll go to the different side of the hoop where you didn't know it was going to be.
Right.
You know.
And a lot of times you can turn the speed down on those things.
Oh yeah.
And that's a good idea too.
That is a good idea. I guess maybe we should talk about sewing over pins.
Or actually, sort of pins in general. I have a couple of things to say
go
about
ahead.
Pins.
Go ahead.
We'll save sewing over pins, but I used to put pins in my mouth.
Yeah.
Lots of people put pins in their mouth.
Yeah.
What I will have you know is a dealer that I knew, I mean, we both used to put pins in our mouth, and she had a pin in her mouth in her shop, and she started to laugh, and she aspirated the pin into her lung.
Oh, gosh.
Okay. She wound up being okay.
Yeah.
She spent several nights in the ICU. And I believe what they did is they scoped her and got it out. But they had to go down in her lung and get this pin out.
And that's, you know.
And, you know, it's a fluke, but it only has to happen once.
You know how you don't get pins in your lungs?
Right.
Don't put them in your mouth.
You just don't put them in your mouth. Right.
And I'm guilty of doing that occasionally.
Right.
I really try not to.
Right.
It's not good for your teeth either.
No, it's not good for anything.
Did you see that in the group where people are like, I bite threads?
Yeah.
I've never bit threads. I guess my teeth aren't that sharp.
Well,
I feel like
Or you got some really crappy thread because you can't bite through a good mattress.
I know, that's what I was thinking. I was like, I can't even bite through my thread all the time.
No, you can't. A good thread, you shouldn't even be able to bite through.
There's a good thing. I do bite my nails. That's not good for your teeth either.
You're right.
Yeah. Oh, moisturize your hands. That's not a safety thing, but just throw that in there. Okay, how about sewing over pins?
Yeah. And there was a bit, we had a thread not too long ago.
Oh, it happens every few weeks.
Right. I mean, there's constantly a thread. I sew over pins and I was taught to sew. Okay, I was taught to sew over pins. Okay?
Mom's really old, okay? So when you in the group, if you're like, well, I'm old.
When you say you've been sewing for 20 years, I laugh, okay? And here's the other thing. I am not only am I 65 years old, but when I say I have sewn for 58
years
or whatever, most of those years I sewed every day of my life and hours.
Yes.
If you have logged more sewing hours than me, it's because you worked in a sweat shop.
Well, yeah. People will say they've sewn 20 years and it's like,
but I want to know how much you've sewn.
Yes.
I mean, have you sewn 100 garments? Because I've done that in a weekend.
Yes.
So
yes.
I mean, all I can say is I've been there. I've put in the time. I've had the experience.
Okay, this is like when people say, I've been dancing since I was 5.
Right.
Okay.
Well, there's ballerinas.
Yeah. I've been dancing since I was 5, too.
No,
but
you've been dancing
there's...
since you were 3.
Okay. I know that there is a big difference between myself and professional
Gloria
dancers.
Lou.
Yeah. Glory Lou. And so anyway,
Yeah. Just because you've been sewing, you've had a sewing machine and you've sewn on it, you know, for 20 years, it doesn't mean you have the experience of a lot of people that have sewn a lot and in many situations. So,
it's
just funny when I hear that.
You know, do whatever you want. But here's the deal about sewing over pins. You will hit a pin.
Eventually.
Something will happen.
If you sew enough, you will hit a pin.
Yes. I don't care how fine the pins are. If you're like, oh, you can sew over these.
Sometimes they're worse because they will pop in two and split off and go right. in two different directions.
So you can break your needle. You can break your pins.
You can bend your needle.
Yep.
And then not know it. And then, you know, the next couple stitches, all of a sudden you're hitting your throat plate with your needle. All kinds of things can happen.
And I want to, I guess, to you know, this is about
And when
safe...
people say saving time,
okay,
you have to take them out.
No, that's what I was going to say. That is... Why wouldn't you take them out just like right before they go under the presser foot?
Okay, here's the other thing. When people say it keeps it in place, sewing over a pin will distort your stitch,
That's
everybody.
That's right. The pin,
it distorts
yeah.
your stitch.
Mm-mm.
So I'm not buying anybody's argument.
Nope.
I remember, you know, someone telling me you can sew over pins, and I did it for a few years, and then I got smarter.
Yeah.
You know, I was open to the idea that something bad could happen. And then people say, I've been sewing over pins for years and nothing's happened. Right. But when it does, it can be really bad. It can be very expensive in your machine and it can hurt you. I know people who have, you know, gotten parts of pins in their eyes. Yeah. I worked in an emergency room for several years, too. Let me tell you, people... don't wear seatbelts. I don't wear a seatbelt because it will save my life. I saw people have little bitty fender benders and lose an eye, you know, or lose their front teeth. Who wants that?
Right.
If I can wear a seatbelt and keep both of my eyes for the rest of my life, I'm going to do it.
It, you know, risk aversion.
Right.
Right? Okay.
Right.
So,
and there might be somebody that's sewn as long as I have, as much as I have, and they're sewing over pins and they've never hit one. I believe you.
Yes.
But there's still a risk. There are people that drive cars drunk and not without seat belts, and they've never been in an accident, okay?
ZD is equating sewing over pins to drunk driving.
Well, I don't
here,
know what
yeah.
else to equate it to.
No,
it's something you can avoid.
Okay, but what you said,
I
yes.
can wear a helmet and ride a bike or not wear a helmet and ride
right.
a bike.
Right, no, what you said is totally true. It might be true that you've never hit one, but it's also true this is risky behavior. And
yeah.
I'm never going to back down from that.
No,
you
and
can't
you might be
me.
The one that it never hit. You know, my husband wore a helmet for years riding a bike, wore a helmet for years riding. And he rides a bike really fast, 30, 40 miles an hour sometimes. And there was a 2x4 on the side of the road and a car coming behind him. And he hit the 2x4 and flew. And his helmet saved his life. You know why I know? The helmet was in like 4 pieces.
Yeah.
That's how, I mean, and you know what? He never had fallen before.
Right.
And he was like 60 when this happened. He'd been riding a bike like for 50 years. He'd been riding a bike since he was 6.
Yeah.
And he didn't wear a helmet all his life.
No, that's true.
You
that's
know?
True. Yeah, sometimes my husband doesn't wear a helmet when he bikes.
Yeah,
I don't
no,
like
it drives
it.
Me crazy.
Yeah, I don't like it at all. Okay, well, I like our pin rant. I'm glad that got
and,
recorded.
And, you know, it's your risk. But you will see many stories where people say, I sewed over pins for years, and then this happened.
Yeah, I'm not. In fact, when it comes up in the group, what'll happen, in case you're not in the group, what'll
right.
happen is someone shares a video of someone sewing over pins. And they're like, oh, ZD and Mallory say not to do this. Or someone will be like, somebody says not to sew over pins, but I do it all the time. And, you know, I just don't even respond
We don't
anymore.
Even have to respond because somebody has a story they'll
well,
tell.
Well, no, and I just yeah. don't. I'm not getting into it. I've yeah. said my piece.
Well,
you know.
What I see happen, though, is other members in the group will
no,
say,
you're very right.
they will say, often
you're very
say,
right.
I sewed over pins for years, and then this happened.
Yes.
You know, I had a $200 injury to my sewing machine. Or
yes.
It flew up in my eye. Thank God I had my glasses on. I'll never do it again.
Also,
you know?
Okay, we talked about this. We have talked about this before, but some people will say, like, older machines inherently can sew over pins better than newer machines. This is not always true.
Well,
I know
repair-wise, there's something.
Yes,
okay,
there's something to that.
Pin or a mechanical machine will slide over a pin a little bit easier than a computerized machine because a computerized machine, I know you guys don't want to hear this, usually has a better stitch than a mechanical machine because it's a computer stitch that is calculated
right.
and calibrated. Every time you turn on that machine.
And, you know, I used to have people get a little angry when they'd be new to a computerized machine. And they'd come in, they'd say, this machine locked up on me. And it didn't lock up on them.
Because it was smarter than them.
Right. It didn't lock up. I'd say, hey, what happened? And they'd say, well, it went, safety device activated.
Right.
And I'm like, that's not locking up. That's preventing damage.
Right.
So the machine felt the needle going onto something that it knew it couldn't penetrate.
Right.
Like it maybe a piece of metal.
Sometimes it's a pin. Sometimes it's a throat plate. Sometimes it's a bobbin case.
Yes.
And you all have bobbin cases, even if it's a drop-in
bobbin. All have bobbin cases. All of you have bobbin cases.
There is a bobbin case
in
there.
I guess unless you don't have a sewing machine.
And even though it says drop-in, you still have to thread it through the mechanism of the bobbin. You don't just drop it in.
All very true. Okay. So, then it will activate and it will be like, beep, beep, beep. No, I'm not going to hurt myself. I'm not going to compromise my timing. I'm not going to break a needle and send it flying into your eye, you know, is what this machine is telling
you. That's right.
Okay. So anyway, yeah. Oh, good. Oh, good. I'm glad we got to rant.
So
about
now we're gonna hit, now we're gonna get a bunch of comments about pins.
All right,
that's all right, you guys. We take them right in our stride.
That's right.
I don't know if anybody else can think of anything, or you know, I'd like to see in comments on this.
Yes. Tell us your gory sewing horror stories.
Right.
Okay. We do want you to be safe in the sewing room. And sometimes this stuff is funny, but sometimes it's serious too.
And I will tell you, when you go to class and people are all bunched up sewing, be cautious of your neighbor. And what I'm saying, you know, don't invade their space. Don't put your rotary cutter down over by them and all the. But another thing is, watch those people. Not everybody's going to be as safe as you are.
That's very true.
It's very true.
Yeah. No, totally. Okay, well, you can find us on Instagram. We are ZD Sewing Studio, and you can follow us there. You can email me at Mallory@sewhere.com, and we so appreciate you listening.
So long, and so happy, and so safe.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.